Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 83 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, Nestor, and my brother Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we got news, nostalgia. We're rounding out those OSFTM tag team series. We have your secret question.
Unacceptable.
And we are rounding out the show with Everyone Has a Price.
Yes, yes. I'm throwing the hot tag, and I'm coming in and turning the tides.
Everyone head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro and Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirts. That is the only way to support this show. Also, you can support the show by purchasing the Fig Life t-shirt and pin combo for $20, Scott. $20.
Wait, $20?
$20, dude.
Is that it?
That's it.
Dude.
Yeah. You spend more taking your family out to dinner. Your family doesn't need to eat.
Absolutely not.
Right. Come on.
Dollar menu. Wendy's.
Right.
Then spend $20 on yourself. Get yourself a shirt and a pin.
Right?
That's cheaper than an Elite.
Yes, it is.
And plus, that shirt looks sweet.
It does. It feels comfortable.
Exactly.
So does the Fully Posable Goes Retro and the Fully Posable Classically Jack t-shirts.
Yes, and a soon-to-be-announced third design.
This third design is very intricate.
Yes.
Very detailed. So it's taken our, I shouldn't say it's taken our designer, but he's working on it hard right now. We kind of threw in a bunch of curveballs, dropped some hammers.
Yeah. Yeah. A few bionic elbows, but yeah. He's going to kick out. He's going to get it figured out and it's going to look awesome.
Yep. He's going to hulk up and he's going to drop that design to us. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You, Scott, you, and all the listeners, you, and if you're bored at work, you can just pop on any of our past episodes at FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Actually, it was funny. We were looking at our reviews on iTunes. We haven't checked it in a long time.
So are we getting trashed?
No, not at all. Everything's been 5 stars. It's been great, man.
Sweet.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So everyone has been rating us 5 stars, giving us positive reviews. But below that, there is a thing that says, if you like this podcast, you might like these other podcasts. So it's basically recommendations like what YouTube does. The first one is Breaker and Bane.
Excellent. How do they know that we're like best friends?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
That's so weird.
It's pretty cool, dude.
Frickin' Apple.
You can send us any audio questions, or anything else to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, before we get into the toy spotting segment, got a few things we want to say. We want to thank a gentleman. His name's Charles Grunswig for sending us the purple Razor and the black tights Hasbro Shawn Michaels. That was awesome, man. Our set is now complete.
Yeah, how unbelievably cool of Charles to send us the two figures that we've been missing. Obviously, way back in the 90s, we passed on them because they were strictly repaints. They weren't new poses. And that's why we passed on them. But now, like 20 some odd years later, Charles takes it upon himself to ship us two figures to complete our set. And it's unbelievably cool, awesome, completely unexpected. Charles, thank you so much. This means a ton to us. And I think, Jeff, the next time that we're hanging out at my place, we'll bust out the figures, we'll throw them all up on the kitchen counter, and we'll display that Razor and Sean prominently at the front, give Charles a huge thank you. And I just can't believe that the set's complete. 20-some-odd years later, that's just so cool.
Yeah. I asked Charles, I go, man, what can we give you? What can we pay you? And he goes, let's just all party down in New Orleans. He's friends with Brandon. So he's like, let's all party down in New Orleans. I'm like, deal.
Oh, dude, that was going to happen anyway, but I think I'm going to have to buy Charles a few drinks.
There you go, man. Also, we want to say we are on Breaker and Bane's podcast again. So when you listen to this show, make sure that your podcast is subscribed over to BBPH. You will hear the second part of our interview. The first one dropped this past Sunday. So make sure you head on over to BreakerandBane.com or BBPH on iTunes and listen to our second part. That was a lot of fun, dude.
Oh, I had a blast recording with them. It's just, it's so easy every time. Just when we get going, we literally don't have a script. It's just everything is off the cuff. It's just so smooth. And those guys are an absolute blast to talk to.
What's funny is you kept asking me a couple days before and the morning of before we recorded, you're like, so what are we talking about? I'm like, dude, we're just going to call it in the ring, dude.
That's not our MO. Usually we are very scripted. Obviously, every episode that we do has a format to it. But yeah, with those guys, it's just shoot from the hip. It's kind of that way when we get Chris on the phone or on the podcast too. It's just everything is kind of shoot from the hip and it just flows. It's just awesome when you guys just have a common thread to talk about. Like, for example, with Breaker and Bane, it was wrestling and it was wrestling figures. It just flows and it's easy. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So make sure you head on over there and listen to that second parter and go back and download the first parter. Also, we want to plug Trivia with Buds, good old Ryan Buds. He, on his podcast this past week, he was doing a SummerSlam edition with Mike Epson from PW Insiders. And, it was pretty funny, dude. I was trying to, there were a couple of questions that I got stumped on SummerSlam trivia. And I'm like, I can't believe I missed that when they answered it.
What year was it from? What were the SummerSlam questions you got stumped on?
They were more recent. The older ones I could bellow out in a second, but the other ones I could not remember for the life of me.
Yeah, isn't that funny that I would probably be better at the older ones too? In fact, I'm going back and watching a bunch of the old SummerSlams. I'm on 1990 right now. I'm actually on that main event cage match. But yeah, I think the newer ones would stump me as well.
Yeah, that's where I got stumped, dude, was the newer SummerSlams. Mike Epson asked something about CM Punk. I think it was which trainer of CM Punk's was in the front row when he faced Cena, I believe at 2012 SummerSlam.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, dude. I was like, wow, Mike, holy crap, dude.
Damn, that's crazy. See, and I think it's because we watched those old SummerSlams so many times in a row. I mean, we've seen 88, 89, 90 SummerSlam, what, 10, 15 times?
Yeah, easily.
I've probably watched 2012 SummerSlam like once, maybe twice.
Right, right. Ryan has 56 episodes of various topics of trivia. He's done Disney, Friends show, and other wrestling trivia in the past. The editor is downloading the Friends one probably as we speak right now, Scott.
Yeah, no matter your interest, he's got something that you'll like, so go check him out.
Yeah, he's also friends with Marty DeRosa too.
That means he's awesome.
Yep. And I can't wait to podcast with him when we're down in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast, dude. I'm looking forward to that trip so much.
Yeah, hopefully there's a signing going on and we're standing in line and doing the trivia.
We may or may not have a microphone with us. Just saying.
We're easy to spot.
Yeah, we're the marks wearing fully posable shirts holding microphones.
Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
Before I get into toy spotting, I just want to double back to iTunes real quick.
Go for it.
Apparently Meltzer is not listening to us because we haven't gotten a 6-star review yet. Anyway, on to my toy spotting news.
Well played, well played.
Hey, thanks. I did do a little bit of toy spotting. I went to Toys R Us on Saturday. They did not have those Diva dolls in yet. I'm still on the hunt for those. The only one that they had were the action figure, like the DC Superhero Girl type dolls. And that was the Sasha and Bailey, the box sets that are like $20. And it comes with a DVD, a headband, a bracelet, and the little doll inside of it. Those are the only ones that I saw. I didn't see any of the Barbie type ones. I did not see the playset, and I did not see the other action figure size ones of like Charlotte and Nikki Bella. They didn't have those in yet either. But they did have the SummerSlam basics and elites there. And actually at Walmart the previous evening, on Friday night, they had pallets out. So you know me, the pallet hunter. I'm cruising along with Alana, my oldest daughter, and I tell her exactly what to look for. And she spotted two boxes. She spotted a SummerSlam basic box sealed and a SummerSlam elite box sealed. And we left them as such. We didn't disturb them. And then the next day at Toys R Us, I got to see them out of the package and I've got her out of the box. And I've got to say, I am a huge fan of that Dusty Rhodes basic. Now that I've actually seen it, you know, and held the figure in my hands, that figure is awesome. They got the stomach splotch, the facial expression, everything about that basic figure is perfect. I love it.
I thought that one was okay.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. The face is just not there. It's okay, but it wasn't enough for me to buy it.
It's not as good as the one that comes with the WCW ring.
No
way. But again, that's an elite.
Right.
As opposed to this one as a basic. And for a basic, I think it's excellent. It could have used an accessory, perhaps his headband, I think would have been cool. But even without that, it's a really, really good basic figure. Totally worth $10. But I did pass on pretty much everything. And today, my wife sent me a picture. Her and my mother-in-law were at Walgreens, and they spotted the DX Triple H.
Did they pick it up for you?
No, it's $20. I'm going to wait and see if they do a discount on it.
Uh-huh.
Because every once in a while, they'll do a sale on toys, or we'll get some kind of coupon for Walgreens. So I'm going to hold off, and as soon as we get a break on that price, I'm going to go pick it up. I just don't want to pay $20 for it. I'm more on board with like 15 to 10, 13, somewhere in there. Just, I would rather spend $20 on that Elite Finn SummerSlam than that Triple H. So I'll wait till we get like a coupon or a price break on it.
You didn't pick up the Elite Finn, huh?
No, dude, I passed on it. They had so many of them. I don't think there's going to be a huge risk of it selling out. Like I said, when Walmart gets them in and they have a ton of them, I'm feeling pretty good about my chances to score them later.
Yeah, they've been pretty easy to spot. They've been at Toys R Us. Now they're popping up at Walmart. So yeah, you're pretty good on those.
Yeah, and plus Walmart has been discounting a lot of figures lately, throwing them on clearance real quick. So hopefully they do that with that Finn and Mankind, and I can scoop both of them up for what I would have paid for one.
This past week, I did do my toy spot in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, nice. You took it international.
I did go international.
Excellent.
I went over the Rockies.
Did you get a Rocky Mountain High?
No, but that altitude, man, that's something else. But anyways.
Not exactly what I meant. It's legal there now, but that's okay. Anyway.
No, oh, that's what you were talking about. So anyways.
You fiend.
Actually, what I should say is before we took off, I got home from work early that day because our flight was later that night. And just in time, right before I left, dude, I got this prototype Warrior, One Warrior Nation.
Oh, right.
It's 1 of 15 prototype Warrior. Right before I took off, literally, dude, I would say about 20 minutes before one half of the benefactors took us over to the airport, That is dropped on my porch.
Nice.
And I went flying out because I knew what it was. So I picked it up. Dude, it was something else. When you're holding a prototype, man, you have a whole different feeling going through you. I will tell you, man.
Well, and it's so rare. Like, I don't think you've ever held a figure that rare before where it's literally 1 of 15 in the entire world. That's an awesome feeling.
Never, man. So I picked it up and I'm like, this is awesome. It's Warrior. It's the One Warrior Nation, because I did a little research before I bought it. So 15 of them were made. Warrior sold them on his website, I believe, for $2,000.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't pay $2,000.
Wow.
I live in California, dude. I barely have $2,000. Anyway.
Yeah.
So some of them were completed. Some of them were like the one I got where it had like a gray spray paint on it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I got this one. And dude, holding it is just amazing. So in 1 month, I've ordered my very first prototype and my very first custom. It was crazy, dude.
That's awesome. See what happens when you make yourself a self-made thousandaire? You afford things like that, dude. Custom figures, prototypes, baller.
Yeah. So, dude, I'm holding this thing, and I'm like, I need to get a protective case for it. I need a bulletproof case for it, you know?
Yes. Laser grids. So in case anybody steps into the room, an alarm goes off.
Exactly, dude. You know me so well.
Exactly. Dude, I'm right there with you.
So anyways, I didn't want to leave. After I got that, I didn't want to catch my flight to Denver. I just wanted to stay home with it and cuddle it, you know?
Sit in the corner with it like Mankind?
Yeah.
Rock back and forth?
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, we went to Denver, got in late, so we didn't do any toy spotting that night. So Friday after work, we went to Walmart. They had nothing. They did have the TNF basics, but that was about it.
Okay.
We did go to Toys R Us after dinner, and I did find the Gallows and Anderson battle pack, which I haven't found out here. So I was like, oh, okay, you know what? I'll pick this up.
Sweet.
If the card gets damaged, it's okay.
Open them. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. So I also picked up the Zack Ryder basic from his WrestleMania 32 gear.
Sweet. That's awesome. That's such a killer figure.
I saw that one once out here, and I was like, you know what? I'll pick it up again on my next trip. I still haven't found it. I was like, oh man, I can't find that Zack Ryder basic. Sure enough, go to Toys R Us out there, found it.
That's awesome.
We go back to the hotel. Next morning, we wake up before we had to go to our company party. And we stopped off at Walmart. And I was able to find those little die-cast guys. And I found Sting and Savage.
Oh, sweet.
Yep.
Did you walk in without your zipper zipped up?
No, my zipper was up. The editor was making sure that my zipper was up.
Okay, good. You had a zipper check person with you this time.
Excellent. Yes, yes, exactly. And then I also found the Scott Hall Elite 51.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I found that one, dude. Found it. Only one left. They had two AJ Styles. I've already got the AJ, so I'm good on that. But I only found one Scott Hall on the whole entire trip. And I was like, well, got to pick this one up. So, of course, going through security, going through everything, man, I'm making sure the car doesn't bend. I'm making sure that when I, because it was a packed flight, so I'm making sure that the person sitting next to me that isn't the editor doesn't knock into it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm being super cautious of it, dude.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got to be careful, man. People throwing their bags around. You don't want them crushing a figure because then you got to get violent with them and nobody enjoys that.
So anyways, that was my toy spot and took it international again.
Nice. Great job, dude.
Yeah, Denver comes through, dude. I don't know what it is. Actually, I shouldn't say Denver. It's right outside Denver. It's in Centennial, Colorado.
If only they had the retros.
I know, dude. That was going to be my coup de grace, dude, if I could find that one.
Well, they're inching out here. We're getting close. They've hit the East Coast. They've started to hit the Midwest. So it looks like we should have them within the next few weeks out here.
Fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
Scott, we've got some interesting news. We're going to do it a little bit different. We have news, but the topics are a little bit on the different side.
Yeah, it's kind of a nostalgia and news all in one.
Yeah. What do you say we hit up that news?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, this isn't WWE or Mattel news, but you had seen these before, and I didn't know this. You kept secrets from me regarding wrestling figures.
Hey, everybody's got their secrets, dude.
We've all got our dark sides.
Exactly.
But these were Galoobs, and they had joints. They had some articulation to them.
Yeah, they look like a mix of Hasbro and Galoob.
Yeah, exactly. And these photos, I didn't know that these had existed. I just found out about these the other day. Somebody tweeted at us with these. They had movable arms and I believe a movable waist.
Yes. Yeah, they were essentially Hasbro Galoobs or WCW guys as Hasbro figures.
Right.
And so they look like they had some sort of mechanism on them.
Yeah, and I'll go down the list right now. And in these photo shots that they took, there was Ric Flair in these green trunks and he had like outline leaves on them, which was weird.
He was literally the Nature Boy.
Yeah. Well said. They had Sid in a red singlet. They had Rick and Scott Steiner, and those Steiners looked great. Just picture Starrcade 89 or Starrcade 90.
Yes, they are what Hasbro should have put out. Not that I have a problem with Hasbro Steiner brothers, because I think they're really cool. These are a little bit cooler.
Yeah, or the Galoob Steiner brothers. Those were cool also.
Yeah, those are awesome too.
Yep. Now, this one was kind of interesting. I mentioned the Ric Flair in the green tights with white outline leaves.
Green trunks, dude.
Ah, every show. I'm never going to learn, Scott. I'll never learn.
Okay, so tights are like pants?
Yes. Yes.
And trunks are like shorts?
Yes. Everything is tights to me. I'm just going to say tights no matter what.
And the exception is the in-between, which John Cena wears, and those are called jorts.
Who wears the jorts in this family?
That might be Colt Cabana's best joke ever.
Yeah. Lex Luger, he was in these American trunks. They were red trunks with blue and white stars.
Yes. Yep. So he was American Lex Luger in the Galoob line before the Galoob line existed and before he slammed Yokozuna on the aircraft carrier.
Right. So he was already...
Very strange.
He was already American Lex in this prototype.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last one was Sting in green tights. So I'm going to have you go into these because you have heard about these before, which, again, I'm still learning about these. I was doing Google searches, Bing searches. I was doing searches all over the place trying to find these or any info on these.
Right. Well, the only thing I know is I'd seen the pictures before, and it said that these were what Galoob was going to make before they settled on what we know the Galoob figures to be now, what they released back in the early 90s. Apparently, Hasbro threatened them that if they were to release those, because I guess the Hasbros came out first, but I don't remember it being by very much.
It wasn't.
Yeah. Hasbro threatened that if they released them, they were going to sue them or do something legally to them that Galoob obviously didn't like, and they switched gears and put out the Galoob figures that we know and love now. That's as far as the story as I know. That's, and it's one of those things that as we continue to get more information, we're going to share it. But that's as much as I know. And I believe I found that out on Twitter about a month and a half ago. I had seen these pictures quite a while ago, and then somebody put them on Twitter like a month and a half, 2 months ago, something like that. And there was a Twitter user that said something to that effect, that Hasbro basically threatened Galoob. Galoob changed course and didn't put these specific figures out. So I'm really curious if Mr. Ryder is going to get his hands on these. I would love to see him. Do they have the mechanism, like the slam arms and all the little Hasbro gimmicks that we love so much? I would love to know.
I know, dude. I want to know where these are. Who has them? Where can we find them? and how much?
Yeah.
What's the price point for them?
Oh my gosh. How do you even price something like that? That's literally one of a kind, never released. You know, you've got to start with like the Greg Valentine Rhythm and Blues.
Probably.
That would be the jumping off point.
So anyways, yeah, I found this very fascinating. Like, never even heard of these before, ever. And all of a sudden,
yeah,
I'm getting blown up with these, and I'm like, holy crap, you know, what are these?
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those things that we're going to try to get more information on these and continue to share it over the next few weeks as we find out some more about them.
Scott, FTC news, what you got?
Yes, FTC showed a sketch this week of what the Kenny Omega variant is going to look like with his tights on, and it's pretty awesome, dude. That's going to be the variant figure. Keep your eyes peeled on FTC for further news on when you can order your Kenny Omega variant. But it looks awesome so far on just the sketch that we've seen.
I love those tights that they designed. It was just a concept art. It was a rendering, but I love them. They look good so far.
Yeah, so far so good. And I think that's the one that I'm going to lean towards when I do purchase the Omega figure. I'll wait until I see the finished product. But if it's anything like the ones in the trunks, probably going to lean towards the one in the tights. Just a preference on what he's wearing now. Both figures are amazing, but I think I'm going to probably get the variant.
Same here. Also, Chris passed along some interesting news that I've never heard of before. So he was on Wrestling Observer message board, and he was telling us about some wrestling stuff that had to do with regarding royalties. So somebody posted in the message board, quote, saw a shoot with Jim Brunzel where he said guys like Paul Orndorff, who were part of the first group of LJN figures made, got royalty checks for like $90,000. But then when the Killer Bees had figures out, they got checks for $12,000. So somebody replied, they remembered a shoot where Greg Valentine was going to protest a house show payoff. And when he went to see Vince, Vince handed Greg a check for $120,000 for his LJN figures. Greg was like, well, fair enough. Guy said he could have bought his Hasbro Rhythm and Blues prototype for that. So here's kind of an interesting thing. This is released to the public. As part of the 1991 Jesse Ventura versus Titan Sports WWF royalties lawsuit, some exhibits discussed Jesse Ventura LJN doll royalty payments. Records showed that Jesse was paid $55,000 and change for his LJN dolls figures. He was arguing...
Yeah, not dolls.
Yeah, he was arguing via royalties expert that he was owed somewhere between $200,000 and $330,000, which would have been a 7% to 10% of net wholesale. So this is what they had listed down for his figure wholesale sales, presumably just for Jesse's character, they wrote. In 1986, four Jesse Ventura dolls... I keep seeing dolls all over this email... For his figure in 1986, it was $1.9 million and change. In 1987, $427,000. 1988, $41,969 and change. In 1989, it was $165,313 and change. Total, $2.5 million. They said a different exhibit that was entered in trial showed Jesse's total royalties at $57,350, which suggests that the LJN figures were about the only thing Jesse was paid for a royalty on.
Well, I don't remember Jesse having much merchandise, really, besides that figure.
Correct.
He had a bendy of that same figure. He had the LJN figure, but he wasn't in any of the video games. I don't recall many Jesse Ventura shirts.
I don't remember any at all.
So, I mean, aside from his royalties on, like, VHS tapes that they sold, I don't know what he was I mean, he wasn't like Hogan where he was selling literally everything down to like vitamins.
Yeah, exactly.
So really, yeah, I would say that the LJN was the only thing that he was getting paid royalties on, aside from VHS tapes.
I was going to say the other thing could be VHS tapes, but I mean, that probably doesn't pay that well.
Yeah. And how many of those were they actually selling back in the day as opposed to renting? You know, they were selling them to video stores, but I don't think they were mass selling them to homes like they are now with DVDs.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
And on top of that, you've pretty much shredded that Jesse Ventura LJN. So I think he was lucky to get 57K.
It was the pose, dude. I hated that.
Yeah, it was totally the pose.
And then they put Axe in almost that same pose.
Yeah, come on, man.
I know. The two worst poses in LJN was Rick Rude. That one will always win.
Yes.
And then the Jesse Ventura. Those were the two worst poses. Luckily, Rick Rude was the only one in that hands on hip shoulder tackle pose. But then they made Axe in the same pose as Jesse Ventura.
So based on that logic, they probably would have made Smash in the Rick Rude pose.
Oh, no, 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 please, no.
No, no, no.
No, 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 no. Okay, maybe it's best that Smash figure didn't come out then.
Yeah, I would rather not have a Smash, thank you.
So anyways, I want to thank Chris for sending that over. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is totally interesting.
Yeah. Scott, we are going to round out the OSFTM figures tonight. Series 2 and 3 of the tag teams, what you say?
Yeah, let's do it. I came to play. There's a price to pay.
Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play. Scott, we're rounding out Old San Francisco Toy Makers Tag Team Series 2 and Series 3.
Well, it didn't take long, did it?
Nope.
That series was short-lived.
Plummeted through this like Shockmaster plummeted through that wall.
Nice.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, no Shockmaster OSFTM.
No. I wonder why.
I wonder why. Are we really wondering why?
Not really.
Nah, not really.
They were embarrassed by that.
I'm more wondering why they didn't have PN News plummet off that scaffold match at that one Great American Bash. But I digress. Moving on. Old San Francisco Toymakers Tag Team Series 2 consisted of Harlem Heat, and these were straight up repaints. They basically just put them in red. They re-released the Nasty Boys, again, repaints. They basically just stuck them in red shirts this time with the paint splatters on it. And they re-released Hogan and Sting as a two-pack. And these were the same ones that have been released previously. The Hogan was basically a re-release of a Series 1, and Sting was in black tights with red trim. And they put different face paint on them, but it was the same pose.
There's nothing else we can say about it.
There's literally nothing else I can say about them because we've already talked about every single one of these figures.
Seriously, what is going through their heads of doing repaints for Series 2?
Well, and what this did for us, and I mean, obviously we're 83 shows into a wrestling figure podcast. We're quite passionate about our wrestling figures. When you do things like this, where all you're doing is basically re-releasing the same figure and just doing a repaint, and you've only done two or three series, you're going to get ignored. And this is what happened when we walked into KB Toys. These became like, quote unquote, white noise to us. We'd walk by and not even notice it. We would just gloss right over them every single time, and we'd go see what Jax had put out, completely ignoring OSFTM, and that's sad.
Okay, so Series 1 comes out, and it's like, okay, we've got Series 1. Series 2 comes out, and it's like, okay, that was the same exact series as Series 1.
Yeah, just a fresh coat of paint on some of the figures. That's all they did.
Really? I mean, like, you have a whole roster to work with. Why are you already going to repaints?
Yeah, yeah. We didn't even get a Buff Bagwell or a Scotty Riggs figure. I mean, come on. Really?
We didn't get Oz, Fire and Ice. We didn't get...
Diamond Stud?
Diamond?
Nothing.
Nothing, dude. Nothing.
Ah, to their credit, though, Razor had already debuted in WWE and was having an excellent career.
Actually, I think Diesel had already debuted in WWE also.
Yes, Diesel had. But still.
Yeah.
Still, they had a pretty deep roster of guys, and they just ignored them.
Completely.
Yeah, just crazy.
Yep.
Moving on. Series 3 tag team consisted of, and these are our, I want to say our, I'm pretty sure they're yours too, favorite figures of the entire OSFTM line, the Blue Bloods.
Mm-hmm.
That was Lord Steven Regal and Beautiful Bobby.
Yep.
Harlem Heat, again, same poses, fresh coat of paint in blue. And last but not least, their first NWO shot, two-pack, Hogan, who was in black NWO tank top and black tights, and Savage, who was in black and silver.
So you were doing a custom Hogan at this time in NWO.
Yeah, I felt that I had to have an NWO figure in my collection. And at that point, this Series 3 one was not out yet. So I took it upon myself to create one.
Yours was better than this Hogan, dude. It was this Hogan. It looked like a 3-year-old did it, dude.
Right. And mine was like a 19-year-old had done it. I think I actually did the NWO in like whiteout.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The liquid whiteout. I think that's what I used for that. But yeah, it didn't come out too bad. Maybe one of these days, if I ever come across it, which honestly, I have no idea where our OSFTM figures are at. But if I ever come across it, I'll put a picture up on our Twitter. But yeah, that was kind of their last Hail Mary. Like, hey, here's an NWO Hogan. And that was it. Off they went into the sunset.
And Savage in black and silver?
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's go to the Blue Bloods. The Blue Bloods look perfect. First Bobby Eaton figure, first Regal figure. It just looked really, really good.
Yeah, and it was very telling of what they were capable of if they tried and delved a little bit deeper into the amazing roster that WCW had. They didn't want to. They just didn't do it. I don't know. It's baffling. Yep. It's baffling to me why they didn't just go a little bit deeper, put out some different figures. But again, when all you're doing is repainting the same figures over and over again and charging the same price, collectors are going to gloss over you. They're not even going to notice your figures on the pegs anymore. They're going to go to what's new and what's fresh. And OSFTM could have done that. They just chose not to. And it's really sad because you look at those Blue Bloods figures and they're amazing. They are really, really good. The job that they did on the costumes are great. But the line overall was just a total miss.
Steven Regal was in that Hogan pose where left arm up, flexing, one arm, the right arm down. Yes. He was in his trunks. Yeah.
There you go.
And Bobby Eaton was in kind of that British jacket, almost like. It was a blue and red jacket. And he was in almost the Greg Valentine pose. Greg Valentine LJN pose, I should say.
Yeah, these are ones I would like to add. Once we do find our OSFTMs, I want to add the Blue Bloods to our collection because, honestly, I never saw the Blue Bloods on the pegs.
Yeah, because everybody was buying them before we could get to KB Toys because, as you said, brand new figures, everybody is hunting for them.
Yep, exactly. Like, oh, these aren't repaints. We're going to go pick those up, and we unfortunately never found them, and we were at KB all the time. But we never came across these, but one of these days, we'll complete them.
That rounds out old San Francisco Toymaker rubber figures, man. We just burned through those.
Yeah, we really did. So I wonder what's next.
Well, next week I have a book report.
Oh.
Yes.
A book report.
Yes. I have been studying up on some figures. It dives into the nostalgia segment. So I will go in next week into these figures.
Listeners, you're getting this the first time that I am too. Like I'm stumped. I have no idea what Jeff is talking about right now. I'm very confused. Just like you.
It's kind of cool. I'm kind of studying up on those. I'll have everything set for next week. I think people will enjoy it.
Well, they'd better. Otherwise, we're going to get a 4-star review. And that would be awful.
Oh, dude, that would just plummet our ranking.
Ugh, I don't even want to think about it.
So, old San Francisco Toy Makers, you are the little train that just couldn't.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
No, that was Toy Biz, dude.
See? I disagree.
Old San Francisco Toy Makers, man. You guys, they were the kids that kept trying and thought they would do right. And then everything they turned in just, ugh.
Well, let's not forget the famous Hulk Hogan and Dennis Rodman 2-pack that they put out. How could we forget that, right?
Ugh. Scott, your secret question is back this week.
Is it about SummerSlam?
Nope.
Ugh. Fine.
Let's get into your secret question. Scott, your secret question is back this week.
If it has to be. Thanks, listeners. Especially you, Brandon.
Ooh. Oh, calling you out, brother.
Brother.
Brother. As Snuka used to say. Brandon, brother. I can't do the rest of it. That's all I got. Scott, your secret question this week revolves around WCW.
Okay.
So, WCW was known for their horrible gimmick matches.
Yes.
Simple question, what was the worst?
I believe the one that was the worst where they had the electric chair in the middle of the ring and they fried Abdullah the Butcher. The coal miner's glove on a pole match was horrible.
Yes.
The spin the wheel, make the deal was horrible. The scaffold match if you ever go back and watch those, they're awful. There's only so much you can do on a platform that's 30 feet above the ring and about 5 or 6 feet wide.
If even that.
Yeah, if even that. And you're putting tag teams up there? Look, when I was 12 years old, I thought that was amazing. Now that I'm a 40-something year old man and I go back and watch those matches, I'm like, these suck. These are so, like, really, like, I want to watch this to see PN News get thrown off of this thing. That would be about the extent of excitement in this match. Would be if a 400-pound man plummeted off this 30-foot structure. Like, that would be the highlight. Those matches were awful. The electric chair in the middle of the ring match, bad. Coal miner on a pole match, bad. Judy Bagwell on a pole match, bad.
No, that was Judy Bagwell on a forklift, wasn't it?
She was on a forklift?
Wasn't she, like, raised up on a forklift or something like that?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
That's another thing we'll get fact-checked on, because WCW at that time was just...
I can be perfectly honest. I did not watch a lick of WCW during that phase. I didn't. It was like once the NWO kind of disbanded, what little I did tune in for, I just 100% tuned out. Like, that was pretty much it for me. The cruiserweights weren't as good as they were. I tuned out. I think the worst one was the electric chair in the middle of the ring. Like, if anybody was really buying that they were going to fry somebody in the middle of the ring, they were insane.
And one of the biggest botches of all time is when Cactus Jack was climbing the cage and he went to reach up for the handle and the handle just falls down.
Awful, awful, awful. And let's not forget Jim Cornette. Poor Jim Cornette, because it's a pay-per-view, leaves his glasses off because he's trying to look better for some weird reason. So he's not wearing his glasses. So his depth perception is off. And as he's dangling from the bottom of the scaffold, he plummets to the ring. Because his depth perception is off, he didn't brace for the fall properly and broke both legs.
Well, wasn't Big Bubba supposed to catch him?
That I don't know. I know Jim Cornette's reasoning for it was that he didn't wear his glasses, so his depth perception was off. So he didn't brace for the fall properly or roll when he was supposed to or whatever. And his legs hit before he realized they were going to hit. Both knees just shattered. So when he's crying after that match, he's legitimately crying because he had literally shattered both knees.
Now, I thought Big Bubba was supposed to catch because Big Bubba was actually down there.
Yeah, but could you imagine trying to catch a 200-pound guy falling like 20 to 30 feet?
Oh, yeah, that'd suck.
No, thank you. You better give me some LJN paychecks for that.
Some of the other ones that was bad was that Tower of Doom. What was it? That three where cages were stacked on top of each other and then they had to climb down?
Yeah, but you know what? I give them at least an A for effort because on paper, that sounds like a really cool idea. The end result wasn't that great because it was very predictable how it was going to play out. So that one I kind of give a pass on. I thought that the War Games were excellent.
War Games were fantastic.
Yeah, even though they all followed the same template, that is a face and a heel into the ring. 5 minutes later, it's a random draw of who goes in next. And 100% of the time, it was a heel going in next. So you always had the faces outnumbered. It was the same template every time. They were still awesome. I thought that the War Games were awesome, where they had the three rings or the two rings and 60 superstars.
Wasn't it World War or something like that? Or
yeah, you're right. World War. Yeah. And then like the two or three ring battle royal. I thought that the battle bowls were interesting as well when you had random pairings of tag teams because you got guys matched up against each other or tagged up together that you normally wouldn't see. I thought that was a cool idea. But for every cool idea was a bad idea, like electrocuting Abdullah the Butcher in the center of the ring with a broken handle. Just, not very good, guys. Not very good.
You know what? The scaffold match was intriguing when we were younger. It was like, because I remember the Road Warriors throwing a pumpkin off the top, and I'm like, oh, man, that is a long...
Yeah, I want to see Bobby Eaton's head explode like that pumpkin. Yes, I'm going to watch that.
And when they actually did the match, I'm like, this isn't very good.
Yeah, it's... there's just not much they could do 20 to 30 feet up in the air.
Yeah, exactly. And then they continued to do the scaffold matches where you couldn't do anything up in the air.
I mean, poor Bobby Eaton, because it seemed like the Midnight Express were always involved in those things.
Right, right.
Even that one that we're talking about with PN News and Steve Austin, Bobby Eaton was in that one too.
Rock and Roll Express were in one too.
Against the Midnights, yes, they were. Yeah.
As you said, Midnights were always in that.
They always were like the heel team that got thrown up in the sky. Guaranteed, if they ever had a scaffold match now, Enzo Amore would be involved in every single one.
It's funny that he's in a shark cage this, or actually when the show drops today, How many Shark Cages matches have we had this year?
That would make three, sir.
Three, sir.
They really want to push those toys, don't they?
It seems that way, doesn't it?
What other reason is there to have so many Shark Cage matches? One in NXT and now two in WWE.
I kind of put this on the back burner for a little bit, but I mean, if you're trying to push those toys.
And you know what's funny is normally it's the heel manager that goes up in the sky. You never, ever see a face go up in that cage. But they really want to punish Enzo, I guess. That poor guy, dude. Throwing him up in the... Like, could they make him look worse right now? He's like hiding behind big men to protect himself. Like he's constantly getting beat up and kicked and... Ugh. There's not going to be much left to Enzo when this feud is done, dude. Enzo is a character. If you just go off of what's happened to him on TV, he's constantly getting beat up. They're making him look like he has to hide behind guys. He runs his mouth and then he has somebody else do his dirty work for him. You know, he's running away from Big Cass. And when he does get caught, he gets laid out. Like, what do you do with his character after that? And now you're throwing him up in the sky like a heel manager normally would. Like, what do you do with his character after this? You've made him look like a piece of crap, basically. Like, now how do you push him? They've completely broken him down. Kind of sad.
One other thing that I wanted to go into before we moved on to the final segment. There was a website. It's called sportskita.com. They do a lot of wrestling stuff. I thought this was kind of interesting. They said that WWE isn't happy with one of their partners. And this was sent over to us by David Myers. Here's the heart of the matter. Issue between WWE and Mattel stems from the fact that it takes Mattel around 10 months to fulfill a product order. The issue apparently began when Mattel was unable to deliver an AJ Styles figure until October 2016, despite huge demand. More recently, the WWE wanted a Goldberg figure in time for WrestleMania season, but the figure won't be available until October 2017. The latest issue, which has now even come to attention of WWE higher-up, centers around the new WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. The WWE is planning to keep, this is from this website, is planning to keep Naomi as champion for the remainder of 2017, but the company was hoping to have the new belts on sale by Christmas for WrestleMania season. However, Mattel has informed WWE that belts will definitely not be available by Christmas. What's next? Naomi will be defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against Natalya at SummerSlam. We all know that. So I found this, or David sent this over to us, and I thought this was kind of interesting. But if WWE wasn't happy with Mattel, then why would they have signed an agreement with them to go through 2021?
Yeah, I get the frustration, though. We feel it, too, as figure collectors. Yeah, of course we want figures faster than what Mattel can put out. The Hardys have been there since WrestleMania, and we still don't have Hardys figures.
Right.
You know, Goldberg had his first match back in the WWE at last year's Survivor Series. It's going to take them almost a year to put out another Goldberg? Are you kidding? Like that for some reason, that doesn't seem okay. Like, who knows whose fault it is? Is WWE not giving Mattel enough of a heads up that, hey, you know, we've got a game coming out with Goldberg on the cover. Maybe it's a good idea if we have a Goldberg figure kind of in the pipe that, you know, if he ever does wrestle, let's put it out. Or even if he doesn't, let's still put out a Goldberg figure. You know, maybe it's WWE not giving Mattel enough of a heads up. You know, maybe they're calling things on the fly, like Naomi winning the women's championship on SmackDown, and then all of a sudden they're going to make the belt glow. Like, maybe you include Mattel in some of these secret meetings so that they can get the ball rolling on producing some of this stuff so that they can get into our hands faster.
This is from a website, so we don't know if it's true or not. You know these websites will make up anything and everything sometimes.
Oh, no, that's true. And look, at the end of the day, like you said right before we started this, Mattel just re-upped with WWE. So how pissed can WWE be at Mattel if they just re-upped for, you know, until 2021? So who knows?
I'm wondering if WWE is looking back in the old days where they had LJNs and Hasbros and there was like, okay, it's going to take about 10, 11 months to get these figures done. And then WWE's like, okay, 25 years later, these figures with technology, with face scan, with everything, these figures should be out in 6 months. I wonder if that's their mentality.
That would make sense, right? With technology right. being what it is, they should be able to churn out figures quicker.
Right.
But I'm going to go back to what you said. Mattel just re-upped. So really, how mad can WWE be?
I could see them being upset about that, and I could see it getting under a lot of people's skin, but... They're re-upped, so there's not much Well, they could terminate the contract, but they would probably have to pay out something.
Well, yeah, and who do you go back to? If you lose Mattel, who's going to make your figures?
Hasbro.
I really hope this story's true. I really hope they're furious with Mattel. And bring them back, baby.
Is Toy Biz still around? No, never mind.
You hope not.
Stay with Mattel. Stay with Mattel.
That's funny. I don't know, dude. Who knows if that story's true or not, but you know, we have until 2021. So I'm happy with where it's at.
Yep. Keep that deal in tow.
Absolutely. But I really do want a Naomi with glow belt. Just saying.
That would be cool. Like a glow in the dark. I know what Bill said in his interview with Noel Foley, you know, the deco color and all that stuff is expensive and you got to look at price point and all that stuff, but do what you got to do to make that happen.
Yeah. You're charging $20 for an elite. You're still going to make your money. Give us an elite Naomi, darn it.
So Scott, before we head into Everybody Has a Price, we actually just received, while we've been recording, a listener question.
Breaking news.
This question just actually came in from Brian Breaker. Look at Brian Breaker stepping up and saving the... He came in, he made the save for everyone, man. So Scott, let's get into listener segments / Everybody Has a Price. Scott, we will go into the first part of this next segment. It's going to be a listener segment. Brian Breaker making the save like Hogan back in the day, dude.
Here comes Breaker with a chair, laying out the heels that didn't send in audio questions.
So let's get into Brian Breaker's question.
Hey guys, it's Brian Breaker bringing you another audio question. Hopefully all the listeners enjoyed my previous audio question where I asked which terrible wrestling figure you would have as your next fully posable shirt, and you chose Maximum Sweat, which I can't disagree with, because I'll be 100% honest here. If you guys had a Maximum Sweat fully posable wrestling figure podcast t-shirt, I would be wearing it right now, but sadly it does not exist, only in my dreams. But here is my question for you guys. You guys know Bane from Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. He also has an amazing album called Bane's World. It's all about wrestling. I think everyone would enjoy if they've not heard it. But here's my question. How much does Bane suck? Okay, that's not actually my question. Because I, you know, come on. I know the answer to that. Bane sucks horribly. So, here is my actual question. Wrestling figures is a fun hobby that we all enjoy. However, it is not the cheapest hobby. Most hobbies are expensive, but wrestling figure collecting is definitely not a cheap hobby whatsoever. If you factor in the purchase of the figure and then paying to get it autographed like you guys do, and there's a lot of money racked up into that. Of course, the overall best factor is that, you know, that money can be returned if you ever opt to sell any of the memorabilia that you have. But so here's my question with that. Figure collecting is not cheap. So let's say money was not a factor. You didn't have to worry about rent, bills, things like that. And you could collect any and every figure that you wanted to. Wrestling, Marvel, Star Wars, DC, any other type of toy line. What other type of toy lines would you collect as heavily as wrestling figures? Because I'm sure you guys have collected other figures over the years, but probably fell off of them because wrestling figures took over. And that's kind of how I've always been. I've always enjoyed the Marvel Legends or the DC Multiverse and several other lines like that. And currently I enjoyed the Funko Pops. But everybody has to eventually stop collecting certain lines because wrestling figures consume so much of our money that we kind of put aside for collecting. So that is my question. If money was not a factor, what other toy lines would you currently be collecting?
Scott, I need to think about this one for a couple minutes. So I'm going to have you go.
You know, back when we started collecting wrestling figures, I was heavy into G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, Mask. Needless to say, I had a lot of side collections going on. And then once wrestling figures came in, that one pretty much dominated everything. I dropped G.I. Joe. I dropped He-Man. I dropped Transformers. Everything went by the wayside. Going into the 90s, when I got a job, I was able to purchase some other ones. I got into the re-release Star Wars figures. I would always collect Batman figures. You know, all the movies had the figures tied in. I would buy all the Batman movie figures. Star Wars, like I said, I would get all of those. I would buy some of the vehicles and then continue to collect wrestling figures. Well, when I got into the 2000s, I kind of had to make a choice, and I really went away from everything and got strictly wrestling figures, to the point now where I don't collect any other toys besides wrestling figures. That's the only thing. But if I'm given an unlimited amount of money from Breaker and I'm told to go buy whatever I want, I can say without a doubt I would be purchasing Hot Toys Marvel figures, Star Wars figures, the NECA Ninja Turtles, and I forget who put out the 66 Batman figures, if it was NECA or Hot Toys. I want to say it was probably NECA that put out these killer Batman and Robin from 1966, the old campy TV show, that literally they took Adam West and Burt Ward and shrunk them down. They look amazing. They're like a little Adam West and Burt Ward in action figure size. That is 100% what I would be spending my money on aside from wrestling figures. Those are amazing. The likenesses are crazy. They run about $275 to $500 depending on what figure you buy. But I would fill cases with those, dude. G.I. Joe, Batman, Marvel, you name it. I would be buying Hot Toys and NECA, hands down.
Can we say wrestling figures?
Well, yeah. Yeah, you still have money to buy wrestling figures, but what else would you like to buy?
Man, that's tough. Like I walk around Toys R Us and there are little trinkets that I want, but there's nothing really that I want to collect. Like, if I go back, the starting lineups were cool. There would be certain starting lineups that I would want to pick up.
Maybe McFarlane's?
No, I got mostly all the McFarlane's that I wanted.
Maybe you would want to go back and collect, like, some Japanese wrestling figures.
Well, that kind of falls around the wrestling figure topic, so I'm trying to...
Well, yes and no, because you've been limited strictly to U.S. wrestling figures. You haven't had the means to purchase Japanese ones.
Oh, I know. Like, there is a few out there that I would love to get the Japanese ones of Bruiser Brody. I think there was a Bruiser Brody out there.
Yeah, or the $80 Nakamura. That's like a statue, but it's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Don't remind me about that one.
I would love to have that one in my collection.
I saw it on Amazon one time for $34.95.
What? Really?
I passed on it.
Dude.
Because this was before anybody knew who he was.
Oh,
out here in the States. And I was trying to save money at the time. Actually, I was doing really well saving money. And I was like, no, I don't need it. As much as I'm loving New Japan right now, I don't need it. He hits WWE. Guess what the price point goes up to?
Yeah, I've seen it no cheaper than 80.
Yep, exactly. I missed that one and it drives me insane. You know what else I'm kind of... I go to Toys R Us and I'm like, I don't need these. But I'm seeing a lot of the Mallrats toys from Kevin Smith movies.
The Kevin Smith toys, yep.
Yep. I've seen some Clerks toys that I would like to get, but I'm just mainly focusing on wrestling figures. I've got too much other stuff going on in life that I need to save money for.
Well, if we could branch outside of toys, podcasting equipment.
Exactly.
For hitting the road.
Yep. Need more mark buttons.
Yes, we need more mark buttons.
Yeah, and then also there are some Muppets that are out, and I want to get the Beaker, and who is that scientist guy he was always with?
I thought that was Beaker.
No, Beaker's the me.
Oh, right. Isn't he a scientist?
Well, he was always with the bald-headed scientist guy with the glasses.
Oh, so Beaker's the lab assistant guy.
Yeah. I can't remember. And then I wanted to get the old guys in the booth.
Oh, yeah, the trolls.
Yeah, I wanted to get those guys, the trolls.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of Twitter trolls today.
So there's little trinkets that I see around Toys R Us, but there's nothing really else that I would want to collect that's outside wrestling figures.
You're very single-focused, if you will, in what you're collecting.
I'm not a comic book guy, so Marvel, DC, those things don't appeal to me. Star Wars, I've never been... Oh, I hope I don't catch heat on this one, but I've never been a fan of Star Wars.
No, that's 100% true. You are not a Star Wars fan at all. You never have been.
Now, Spaceballs was a great movie.
Will you stop? How dare you compare the two, aside from their obvious comparisons?
Lord Helmet greater than Darth Vader.
Okay, that you will catch heat for, sir. And to quote the great Deontay on Twitter, you will also catch these hands, bro.
What else? There's nothing really else that I want to collect. The only thing I'm collecting is Ninja Turtles, but those are in WWE figures.
Because they're WWE style.
Because they're WWE style, dude.
I will say I would also like to collect, Funko just came out with the 66 Batman 3¾-inch figures. Uh-huh. And they also put out a Batmobile to fit the 3¾-inch Batman 66 figures. So I would also be collecting that. Pretty much anything Batman throwback to the old TV show, I would collect. You name it, I would buy it. If I had unlimited funds, it would be the Hot Toys, 12-inch dolls, any property really, and then the Funko Batman 66 line, or any Batman 66 toys. Obviously, I'm a huge Batman freak. Also, any Figures Toy Company Kiss dolls that come out past, present, or future, I would collect those as well.
Now, would you get any of the Deadpool or any of the Marvel characters or anything like that?
In Hot Toys, yes. If I was getting Hot Toys, I wouldn't collect anything else like your run-of-the-mill Toys R Us or Walmart releases or Target. I would only be buying the Hot Toys releases, and I would go back and complete sets. Dude, they came out with a Back to the Future car that's in scale with their Marty, and it's amazing. It's all light up. It's got the flux capacitor that lights up. The work that they do is killer. And I know this isn't the Hot Toys podcast, but again, if Breaker's giving me unlimited funds, I'm going out and buying all that.
Did you see Zack Ryder's IG live feed?
That guy has an amazing collection. That room is like every collector's dream. There's something in there for everybody.
Did you see the Back to the Future dolls that were up there?
No, I missed that.
Oh,
I missed the Back to the Future ones.
If I'm not mistaken, he had McFly and Doc Brown. But they were in like a taller scale, but they were in cartoon form. Almost like a cartoonish look. Dude. And then he had the Mattel hoverboard in the back. He's taken a picture with that before.
Oh, that's hella funny. Yeah, I've seen that picture.
I loved it. I was like, oh, now that is something that I would love to look into getting, is those Back to the Future toys.
Yeah, or what about Legos, dude? Would you go into Legos at all?
No, I've never been a Lego guy.
Okay. I would collect the Batman 66 Legos. They actually put out a Batcave / Wayne Manor thing that came with like a Batmobile and a whole bunch of minifigures. I would buy that too. Like I said, pretty much anything Batman 66 related, I would collect, be it Lego, Funko, in the 3¾-inch scale. You name it, Batman 66, I would buy it.
Sounds good.
That was a great question. Kind of going off wrestling course a little bit. I dig that.
Thank you, Breaker, for sending that in. He saved the listener segment.
Yes, thank you for saving the day, Breaker. You laid out all those heel listeners who don't send audio questions.
Scott, we did also receive one email, and this was kind of funny because this email came from a gentleman named Ryan Kearney. Now, he sent us an email, and the funny part regarding this email is he had just completed this email and sent it to us, and then he listened to our show, and he emailed us back and said his wife was the Walmart worker that Matthew Goldberg ran into in Wisconsin.
Oh, dude, are you kidding?
I am not kidding you, dude. I thought that was hella funny.
Oh, wow. That's like putting a nice little bow on that whole little segment.
Right.
That's right. Awesome.
This is from Ryan. I hope I'm saying this right. Ryan Kearney, I believe. He goes, "Hey guys, discovered your podcast just about 4 months ago, and I'm blowing my way through the back catalog. I first heard about your show from the Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling podcast." That's awesome, dude. I love Marty and Sarah. They're awesome. Marty had mentioned about you guys talking about the pose of the Rick Rude figure, and I had to get in on a podcast talking that detailed about wrestling figures. That's where it begins for me growing up. I'm just a little out of the age range for the LJNs, but it was Hasbro Mania for in my house. My nanny's house in England, and pretty much anywhere my brother and I would go. We would bring a backpack full of figures whenever we traveled. That's funny, dude, because remember when we used to go down to Disneyland with the LJNs?
Yeah, we talked about that not too long ago on one of our shows, how we'd load up the trunk and the back of the car would weigh down because of the big pile of rubber in the trunk.
Right, right. What?
No. Not the big pile of rubbers. No, I wasn't talking about Dad's suitcase. I was talking about our LJN figures, dude.
Dear Breaker and Bane, there's a drop for you.
Feel free to use it whenever.
Ben, we'll send that over to you here shortly. Scott will be on the drops again.
Oh, that's Scott and his drops.
There's another drop.
Letting it fly tonight.
Back to Ryan's email. "I have not always been collecting. Life gets in the way sometimes. During college and when I got my first job, money was tight, but was still able to keep up a little bit with collecting figures. Shortly after that, my wife and I had our first child. He was born with a very rare seizure disorder, which caused a severe development delay. I don't need to tell you guys that there are things way more important than that in wrestling figures, especially when it comes to kids. The first thing that I take away from your podcast is that I could not believe there are other people that like me out there. Would feel awkward sometimes buying these toys for myself, but now I know I'm not alone. Even though I cannot really keep up anymore, it is still fun to listen to you guys and interact with the Fig Life community on Twitter. My son has been hospitalized 5 times already this year, and going to the store to get few things for my wife turned into an event. I was able to jet down the toy aisle, snap a pic, and tag Toy Spotting to chat about what I saw. It was a very brief distraction in what has been a very hard year. I will not forget during one of his longer stays finding the defining moment Shinsuke Nakamura, having it in my hand and passing on it. But now seeing how hard that one is to spot and how much it is online, I wish I would have pulled the trigger. What you gonna do? Scott, you had mentioned the last episode that there is nothing better than going down the aisle with your kids. I will never get to experience that with my son, who is now 8. We recently had a daughter who is 100% healthy, and I will appreciate it 10 times more taking her to the toy store. I did not want to bring down the room with that one. Wanted you to know how much my wife and I love the podcast and toy spotting with that Fig Life. So here is Ryan's top 5. Number 5, the Andre the Giant Elite 29. You know how hard that figure was?
Oh, dude. Yeah, that was extremely hard to find.
Never found it. He says he's a big Andre mark and try to collect all of his toys. This one is a good one. Number 4, defining moment, Ric Flair in blue robe. He said this one meant a lot because he was at WrestleMania 24. Number 3, the Figures Toy Company, Kenny Omega. He said his wife got it for him for Father's Day. He said she's the best. Number 2, Finn Balor Elite. He says, well, because you know.
Yeah, there's no explanation needed on that one.
Number 1, Hasbro Razor Ramon in black vest, red trunks. He said his nanny got it for him while he was visiting England 1 year. For some reason, they always had a better selection than that in the States for some reason. Thanks again, guys, and sorry for the lengthy email. Don't apologize, man. We appreciate that.
No, yeah, that's a great email, and all the best to your child. That's rough, man. I can't even imagine. And hopefully, again, we provide a distraction, albeit a temporary one. You know, I hope it is a good distraction for you and we kind of take you away from it. And, you know, again, all the best to your child.
Yeah, we hope he's doing well. Look forward to the aisle trips with your daughter. You know, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, they're amazing. They really are, especially when you walk into the store and they're the first ones to go, Daddy, you want to go toy spotting? It's awesome. And you will get to experience that, and it's amazing, and all the best to you and your family.
That's what's best about this Fig Life community, dude, or this toy spotting community. Jeff over at Toy Spotting developed a huge community over there.
Well, yeah, it's almost, I don't know if toy spotting was a word before, but it was certainly now.
I didn't know that there was a big wrestling figure community until I saw Jeff over at Toy Spotting.
Yeah, and now it's a phenomena. It's bigger than Hulkamania, brother.
Okay, it's not that big, dude.
I think it is.
Yeah, whatever.
I tweet hashtag toy spotting way more than hashtag Hulkamania.
Touche, well played on that one.
Toy spotting trends, Hulkamania doesn't anymore.
So, Ryan, thank you for sharing your story, man. We hope, as Scott said, we hope we cause a distraction for you and hope we can take your mind away for certain things in life right now. Scott, time for Everybody Has a Price.
Yeah, are you ready?
Why do you gotta swerve me like this, man? This isn't fun, dude. This sucks.
Yeah, what could it possibly be like sitting there waiting for a question that you don't know what it is yet, and you have to come up with an answer on the spot?
I don't know, dude. This sucks.
Yeah, that must really, really suck.
You don't know the feeling that goes through me. I start sweating.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There are drops.
You mean you get irritable bowels? Get your pen and paper and quit your complaining.
All right. Scott, I have my pen.
All right.
You just made the list.
Mark. Okay, so you are ready for your 4 figures.
I am ready for my 4 figures. Present them to me.
Okay, so I wanted to double back a little bit. Earlier, you spoke about Jesse Ventura. And you and I exchanged, or you sent me the notes earlier for the show. I didn't know what my secret question was going to be, nor did I know that you were going to give us that tidbit that Chris had shared with you about Jesse Ventura's royalties on his LJN figure.
Okay.
I did not know any of that. But what I wanted to do with Everybody Has a Price is I wanted to play off of Breaker, and he mentioned it in his new audio question today. I wanted to play off of Breaker's first audio question, where he had us pick out the worst of the figures and put them on a shirt of Fully Posable. I wanted to pick out some of the worst figures and have you guess their price.
Oh my, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So are you ready?
Hold on. You're making the list twice. All right, what is figure number one?
Figure number one, I can tell you what figure number one was going to be, and then I'll tell you what it actually is. Figure number one was going to be Gross Out Toy Biz Sting. Unfortunately, when I ransacked eBay, I could not find a recent sale besides a loose one that ended up going for $50. So, that said, Gross Out Toy Biz Goldberg. These are all mint on card, by the way.
Okay, what's the next one?
LJN Jesse Ventura.
Okay, what's the next one?
Owen Hart. Stomp Series.
Ooh. Okay.
Last, but certainly not least in my heart, the Bendham's Wrestling Ring with Paul Bearer.
Okay.
Your choice if you want to go to low to high or high to low.
I'm going to go low to high.
Low to high. Okay. So what is the lowest of those four? Now keep in mind, these are all mint on card, or in the case of the ring, mint in box, complete with the Paul Bearer. They're all mint on card or mint in box. None of these are loose.
So I know I'm wrong on this one, but my gut keeps telling me to say it. Going Owen Hart Stomp.
You are correct.
Really?
Yes, you are correct. That is the lowest price out of those four. Would you like to guess how much a Stomp Owen Hart sold for mint on card?
$24?
Incorrect. Lower, sir.
$16?
Lower, sir.
$13?
Nope. Lower.
$8?
Lower.
$4.
Almost. You're a little bit higher.
$5?
A little bit higher.
$6.
Yes. Here's the best part. They included a Brian Pillman mint on card Stomp figure. So for $6 on May 19th, some lucky soul, or depending on your love or hate of Stomp, a poor soul, purchased a Stomp Owen Hart and a Stomp Brian Pillman mint on card for $6 total.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so the next one I'm going to say Bendham's Wrestling Ring.
And you would be correct again.
So this one I'm going to say $19.
Wow. You're really, really close, but it's lower than that.
$17?
Keep going lower.
$14?
$13.50 mint in box Bendham's Ring with Paul Bearer sold on July 25th. $13.50.
Wow.
I don't even think you could buy it in the store for that when it came out.
So I have an idea in my head how much the LJN Jesse is.
Okay.
I don't know because I've never looked this up. The Gross Out Goldberg.
But you know how rare those gross outs are and what they command online.
Correct.
Or roundabout what they command online.
I think I know how much the Jesse is. I think I've actually seen that. Going to go LJN Jesse.
And you would be correct again, sir.
Dude, I won this week.
Yes, you did.
Guess what I won, dude? Nothing. I'm going to go buy myself a 97 cent diecast. So the Jesse, I think I've seen for $77 on card.
The one that I saw sold, and this was the higher of them because it was a nicer card, sold on August 4th, $99.
$99, okay. So the Gross Out Goldberg, I'm going to say $115.
You would be very close. You actually weren't going to get 3 and 4 wrong because they were the exact same price.
Oh.
The Gross Out Toy Biz Goldberg, mint on card, sold May 29th for $99.
All right. That seems cool.
And there are 4 horrible figures, technically 5 if you include the Pillman.
Nice, dude.
That you won a diecast.
I'm going to go buy myself. Well, I've already got the Sting and Savage. Those were the only two I wanted.
Buy yourself a horrible-looking Bailey, sir.
Oh, that thing is hideous, dude.
Shan picked it up for Peyton, and Peyton kind of looked at it, and she's like, what's that? That's kind of supposed to be Bailey?
Mommy, why do you hate me?
Like, wait, do you expect me to play with this? Yeah, Shan found the die casts at Walmart last week, and she picked up the Bailey for Peyton, and it's the least excited Peyton has ever been to receive anything Bailey.
Actually, dude, this might be a fun little game. So, I've been looking on eBay, just kind of seeing if I could find that diamond in the rough or the needle haystack type thing.
Yes, what have you been searching for?
Well, I did find a UK Galoob, Michael Hayes, and Jimmy Garvin with sound module in box.
Oh my.
Galoob set. I found it for $325.
Jeez, dude. Oh my gosh.
This could actually be a new segment. Should Jeff buy it?
That seems high to me, dude. I've seen them for lower than that.
They do have make an offer or something like that.
Yes.
I was thinking about making an offer, but I didn't know if I would be doing it right or if I would be on point with my offer.
Ah, throw $10 at him. What's the worst that can happen?
He would laugh.
Yeah.
He would report me to eBay.
Suddenly he'd become stunning Steve Austin or Stone Cold Steve Austin, flipping you the bird, cursing your name.
I also saw the on card Matt Mania's Road Warriors with Paul Ellering for $275 on card, and it was mint.
Wait, Matt Mania? Those were only single card.
No, this was a 3-pack.
And it said Matt Mania?
I believe it's...
I thought the 3-packs weren't Matt. They were their own, like, 3-pack series, because they did the Freebirds, they did Regal and Garvin and Precious.
You're right. I apologize. You're right.
You threw me there for a second, like, there's Remcos I don't know about. I don't like this.
But you know what? You're 100% correct. They did have the LOD with Paul Ellering for $275.
Well, here's the thing. Like, even if you did purchase those, none of those collections, and I'm talking about the Remcos and the Galoobs, none of those we have on card. All of ours are loose. So,
we don't have the UK Galoobs.
No, not at all. But if we did get them, I would not be opposed at all to them being loose. Because the other ones that we have aren't carded. They're loose.
Right.
So I'm okay. Like, one day when we do go back and collect those, I'm okay with them being loose. Don't feel that you have to buy them on the card, dude.
I know, but it's one of those, it's the new collector in me when needing them on card, you know?
You're going to pay way more, dude. And we've talked about that too. Like, with this everybody has a price segment, I'm kind of shocked going back and looking at loose LJNs that it's really not that bad if you're looking at completing your collection.
I told you about the guy at WrestleMania I met who was walking around with a huge suitcase of LJNs carded, right?
Yeah, dude, that's insane.
The dude lives up in Toronto, Canada. Actually, I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Okay.
And he buys carded LJNs of guys that he know he can still get autographs of.
Oh, that's so cool.
So at WrestleMania at WrestleCon this past year, he got Mean Gene, he got Bobby Heenan, and I'm trying to remember who else was there that had the LJN. I just remember the big suitcase. Oh, it's driving me nuts. But anyways, he had easily, with this plastic container or this plastic protection around the carded LJNs.
Right.
He had easily about 12 carded LJNs in there. I want to say he had Terry Funk in there, but Terry ended up backing out at WrestleCon.
Could you imagine walking out of a convention with 11 signed LJNs? Dude, how awesome would that be?
Oh.
Especially if you had like the Hart Foundation on the box.
Oh, that's a dream right there, dude.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Or if I would have had the Killer Bees carded, I would have been able to get it at WrestleCon this past year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you know what? Well, did they put the Killer Bees out in a tag team box? I think they did, right?
I thought they did.
Yeah, that would have been so cool to get signed. Those old, like Nikolai and Sheik, or Hogan, yep, and Hillbilly Jim, to get those signed, or Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine. That'd be so cool.
So, Scott, that rounds out episode 83. Big thanks to Charles Grunswick for sending over the purple Hasbro razor and the black tight Shawn Michaels. Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, thank you again. I feel like Wayne and Garth, like, we're not worthy, but thank you so much. That's so cool of you. Thank you so much.
We owe him down in New Orleans.
Absolutely. Yep. Jaeger's on Jeff.
Also, check out BreakerandBane.com. Scott and I are on the show for last week and this week, so check out their show. Make sure you download those episodes. First episode was about wrestling figures. Next episode is about wrestling. Just fun times, man. Breaker sharing stories, us sharing stories. Just great time. As you said, dude, we're going off the script and just calling it in the ring, dude.
Yeah, we kind of broke character a little bit and talked wrestling in that second episode. It was a lot of fun.
Yep. And again, check out Trivia with Buds, his SummerSlam edition. this past week that dropped on iTunes or triviawithbuds.com. Just a lot of fun, different topics that you can scroll through. There's got to be something for everyone in there because he's done a gazillion different topics of trivia. So a lot of fun with his show. He's on with PW Insider Mike Epson this past week. So make sure you download that show, Trivia with Buds. Ryan, we look forward to podcast with you down in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it may or may not be in an autograph line, but it's going
to
happen.
It's definitely going to happen. I can't wait for that. I think you and I are battling each other in the trivia.
Does the winner get another die cast?
Winner gets to get to put the other person in the sharpshooter.
Oh, dude. Remember we used to do that and like you'd start crying? And I was always afraid because we'd always have to wrestle when mom and dad weren't home.
Right.
We'd have to wait until they went to like Costco or something, and then we'd beat the crap out of each other downstairs, and I'd always like finish it with like a figure four or a sharpshooter, and literally yep. every time you'd end up crying, and I had yep. to convince you somehow to stop crying before mom and dad got home. That was cool.
This is actually a funny story. Do you remember the one summer we were playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out and you got the code to face Mike Tyson?
Yes.
And you would not give me the code to face Mike Tyson?
Nope. Nope.
And do you remember what I did?
No.
I called dad at work. And I was like, Dad, Scott is not giving me the code to face Mike Tyson in Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
You called Dad?
Dude, I called him at work, dude. I called him at General Electric, dude.
Dude, if my kids called me at work to complain about something like that, I would literally leave work, drive home, and beat both of them.
I'm surprised Dad didn't.
No, instead he just walked in front of us in his underwear that one time we were playing video games with our friends.
Oh, that's another story.
That's another story.
We'll save that for episode 100 when you're drinking.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I need some Jaeger for that.
Again, everyone, the best way to support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro and Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirt. Also, pick up the Fully Posable pin and Fig Life t-shirt. $20. What was it, Scott? $20?
Dude, 20. That's it? 20 bucks?
That's it. Yeah, we went through this at the beginning of the show. Don't you remember?
How aren't those sold out yet? Come on. Really? 20 bucks for an awesome shirt and an awesome pin?
I know, right, dude?
Dude, come on. That's a no-brainer. Jump on it now.
I know. It's actually pretty cool. Breaker has a lanyard, and our pin is on it.
That's sweet.
And then Bane has this like metal tin, and he has the NWO big gold plate on one side. Then I want to say he has a spinner belt on the other side, and then on the other side is our pin.
Nice.
Yep. It's awesome, dude. So again, head on over to whatamaneuver.net or slide into our DMs, pick up the pin and Fig Life t-shirt. Large, extra large, and 2XL is left in the Fig Life t-shirt. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Opposable. Instagram, Fully Opposable, WFP. You, Scott, you can go back and listen to any of our podcasts. Maybe pick up on something that I made a boo-boo on, or something that shouldn't have been added and was not caught in editing.
Yeah, it happens. Not very often, but yeah. It happens.
So you can go there, fullyposablepodcast.com, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. That helps us out immensely. We thank everyone for the reviews that are already up there. You can email us any audio questions like Breaker or stories at all like Ryan tonight to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, episode 83 is in the books. Oh yeah, did you want to vent on anything or express feelings?
Yeah, actually I was going to do that on the way out, but I wanted to say that Peyton had a birthday last weekend, and she got a lot of happy birthdays from a bunch of our listeners that are on Twitter. I thought that was awesome. I sent a thing to Bailey asking her to give Peyton a happy birthday, and she responded immediately. I mean immediately, with a birthday response to Peyton, and it literally just brightened her entire day. She had a permanent smile on her face, and not only from Bailey, but from all the listeners just wishing her a happy birthday. I just wanted to say thank you so much for that. That meant a lot to her.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, that was great. And aside from that, happy toy hunting.
We also want to thank Jacob over at Pollyanna for everything that he's done for us. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.